Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our heart and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Good evening, wherever and whenever you're listening. I'm Nicole Whitney, and this is now News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And not a new guest, but a totally new topic, one that I have never had a conversation about probably ever in my entire, well, this life. Perhaps other ones there was, but this is the first time, this time around for me. Dr. Sharon Forrest is on the line. She's with me live for the full show today, and she's coming back to Vancouver to talk to people about Egyptian numerology, something I know absolutely less than nothing about. So we're going to change that in the next 45 minutes for myself and all of those listening. So let's welcome her back on and start the fun. If, by the way, her website for later, healingnow.com. Dr. Sharon Forrest, welcome back.
I'm glad to be back. Hi, Nicole. Hi, everybody.
Or Mama Sharon, as we now call you.
Yeah.
So how are you, and what's new for you lately?
Oh, just really, really busy. I'm getting ready for the manual, ready for the trainings, and plus packing clothes and sorting clothes to take with us to Peru in May. So we're really busy. And then heading up to Vancouver next week, or the end of this week, and then off to Toronto to do the Egyptian numerology workshop the week after that.
Wow, you're always on the go.
How are
your orphanages in Peru? How often do you have to get over there?
Well, I go down at least 2 times a year with a group where we bring clothes and, you know, school supplies and medical supplies. And then I go down whenever needed alone.
Wow, that alone would be a job and a half for people to keep that up. Wow, and how is Washington?
Oh, he's doing awesome. Really great. He's been invited to go back to Bali to represent youth making a difference on the planet. So he'll be back in Bali in July and August.
Wow. For those listening, it's interesting synchronicity where when I went a year and a half ago to Peru, the young man that was personally responsible for carrying me around for 4 days, literally up and down sides of mountains, was a young man named Washington, who, as it turned out, was Dr. Sharon's first adopted child in Peru.
Yep.
What are the odds? But he was...
Oh, world, isn't it?
It really is. It's amazing. So... But how, in amidst all the healing work that you do, and and everything else. How did you get involved in Egyptian numerology?
Actually, it's one of the, well, probably about 25, 30 years ago. I had a matrimonial agency at that time in Montreal and was doing marriage counseling and singles counseling. And I put an ad in the paper. My company was flourishing, and I needed a really good employee and wanted somebody that could work well with me and that was also interested in the same things I was interested in, because I didn't want somebody who thought their boss was nuts, you know. And so I put an ad in the paper asking, you know, compassionate, caring, intuitive, into the esoteric and spiritual sciences, into personal growth. And don't forget, this is 30, 35 years ago, where it was pretty well unheard of. And this incredible lady came into my office. She was in her 60s with sparkling blue eyes, snow-white curly hair, not a trace of makeup, and married to a 26-year-old young man. And she was 65.
65. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and they had been happily married for some time, and in tow was her ex-husband. I went, oh, my gosh. So I liked her right off the bat. She was really eccentric, but down to earth, very intuitive, had a wonderful way with people. And I was showing her the interview that we did, which was 3 hours long, because it was only for people looking for marriage or cohabitation, and it was, you know, 99% professionals. And she said, oh, I see you don't do numerology or astrology. All you have is their sign. And I said, well, astrology gets so complicated, housing, you know, triads, squaring moon, Saturn, all of those things, and it's too complicated and convoluted. And she said, well, what about numerology? And I said, well, I studied that too, and that can get very complicated and convoluted. And she said, have you heard about Egyptian numerology? And I said, no, what's that? And in Egyptian numerology, I have a 7, which is an infomaniac, always wanting to learn something new, try something new, discover something new, and understand something better. So I said to her, what's that? And she said, give me the birthday of two people you know really well. Well, I was sure I had her stumped, because my best friend was Richard John Johnson, born on March the 8th, and I don't remember the year. And I used to say to him, Richard, I want somebody just like you, only 3 inches taller, 30 pounds heavier, 10 years older. And sure enough, I manifested a Richard John Johnson, born on March the 8th. Exactly 3 inches taller, 10 years older, and 30 pounds heavier, and the exact same birthday. So I was sure that I had Jocelyn stumped. And I was in the process of separating from the big Richard. And she said, describe them to a T. And I was flabbergasted, because she was so right on, even down to the minutest little detail. So then I said, do me, because nobody understood me. I didn't understand myself. I was really enigma. I came in with all these healing abilities, and I was what is considered of the normal abilities. And I was scared of my powers. And I also couldn't understand why I had so much child abuse, and, you know, why did I have to go through so much. And she didn't know anything about me and just described me to a T, to my childhood and what had gone on, things that I had never even told my best friend. And she was telling me in detail.
And this is different than regular numerology?
Yes, it is. In the first letter, the first number, rather, the soul urge and the soul path, like the day of birth and the full day of birth, are the same in any type of numerology, just called different names. But what makes this one different is the interpretation of the numbers is a bit different. But then there's an old Egyptian chart that came down through Jocelyn's family, and she had it on an old dilapidated piece of parchment. And it was even hard to decipher the writing that was still on it. But it had come down through her family, and she was used to doing it. And so I copied it and started working with that. So with the Egyptian chart, it's a combination of Egyptian numerology and astrology combined together. So from the chart, you get their astrological sign, their number, and then you also get, when you add the number to the main karmic lesson, which comes off the Egyptian chart, then you get what their soul's been trying to do over many lifetimes.
So how, like, let's start at the very foundation for those that are, you know, just numerology in general as well. You know, where are these prime numbers or whatever derived from?
Oh, so from the day of birth. So the soul urge is your day of birth, whatever day you were born. And then the soul path number comes from your day, month, and year, all added up together and then broken down into one single-digit number, unless it's a master number, which is 11, 22, and 33 in Egyptian numerology.
So can you walk us through that, like, for, so we can all do it together, like, how what we should be adding up step by step?
It's a little bit hard to do without them seeing the chart, but you just take, like, your full day of birth. Would it say, for example, what's your birthday?
June 2nd.
So you would, so your soul urge would, June 2nd, then what year?
62.
So you would take, your two would be your soul urge, what your soul is urging to do. And then your soul path, you would add 2 plus 10 equals 12, plus the 6, which I leave the 10 out and do it at the end, which makes it a bit complicated if you're trying to do it over the air, because I'll be teaching this. It's so much easier when you class and you have everything right in front of the people.
So the day of the birth is where you get the 2. That's the
The 2. And then you add the 2 plus 10 plus 19, 62. So 2, 3,
so what,
9, 10, 11.
What was the 10?
11, 21. So 21, 3. Yeah, you just keep adding up and then breaking that down, and then that would give us your soul urge number.
Okay. So what's the difference between soul path and soul urge, first of all?
Well, one is one thing is that your soul's urging to do right now, and it plays a lot of influence in your life. And your soul path is the path you're on, that you're really being guided to go on in this life.
Okay. Did you add mine up there?
Wait, I didn't. I stopped. I was talking to you. To you.
They show guinea pig as usual. May as well. We'll follow through and we'll.
30. So you would have, it's a 330, so it would be a 3.
Okay, so, and that's my soul
urge.
Urge.
And soul path. The 3 is your soul path.
Okay, so I have a 2 and a 3. So what does that mean?
That's a little bit more difficult to explain, but the 2 is what's going on in your life today. Like, there's an urge that your soul really wants you to address and to work through. So with yours would be trusting your intuitive abilities, it's codependency, it's needing to get out in the public. Many of the actors, actresses, and singers and entertainers out there in the world today are 2s. They have that urge to be out in the open like that. And then when you add up the full day of birth, which is the 3, as your soul path, then that gives me a glimpse of what's been going on through your life in this life. Like with 3s, just to encapsulate it, is they're usually full of humor, always on the go, have a tendency to scatter their energies and spread themselves thin. Usually they have one or both parents not there the way they really wanted them to be, and this continues on into their adult life. Most 3s are dealing with, in this life, of abandonment, rejection, low self-esteem, and low self-worth. So a 3 has to do inner child work to find that inner peace and that love, and then to have a strong connection to the God of their understanding.
Hmm. And this is all being from just your birthday.
Yeah.
Now, what range of, you know, if there's 1s and 2s and 3s, like, where does the number start and stop at? Like how many number possibly?
Oh, in Egyptian numerology, the main numbers are 1 to 9, and then the master numbers, which doesn't mean that they're any more a better person than somebody with a lower number, is 11, 22, and 33. And I know that some people that do numerology claim the master numbers are more special, but I disagree because there's so many old souls coming on the planet at this time, and you have people coming in that just take one thing to trigger them, and boy, they're zooming ahead of people that have been studying or working on themselves for years. And I also feel that no matter what somebody's coming in with, everybody has a special place. Everybody is equally as important. Kind of like if you had an interlocking jigsaw puzzle. Some pieces are big and flamboyant and take a lot of space, and others are tiny and nondescript, maybe drab color. But each is equally as important for the whole picture to hold together. And it's the same with the planet Earth. Everybody is equally important, and everybody comes in with lessons. And I know some people say, the bad number three, or the good number three, or the negative number three, or the positive number three, but I look at it more as stepping into their magnificence or slipping in their magnificence. That's all. It's the lessons that people have chosen to experience in this life.
Or tripping over it, as it were.
With my three, if I hadn't had such a traumatic childhood and always feeling unloved and unwanted, because I knew what that felt like at such a deep core level, I've got orphanages now in Peru because I know what it feels like to be unloved, and I'm very loving with my kids, very affectionate with the whole bunch of them.
Yeah, it's hard to see anything as in that older realm of positive versus negative.
There is no positive, there is no negative. People, the beauty of the Egyptian numerology is you realize people are exactly where they're supposed to be, but just sometimes they need a kick in the astral, because they're spinning their wheels.
So is this a tool then to help, verify your purpose?
To verify your purpose, to understand why you act or react a certain way, why certain things have happened to you. When Jocelyn did my numbers, it was the first time in my life that I felt, I'm exactly the way I'm supposed to be. It's okay to be me. And this was a big thing for me because I always felt who I was not okay. And I thought I was weird, and I was by many people's standards in those days. But she talked about my abilities to heal, also about my compassion and caring for the underdog. And even as a child, people used to say, nobody can be that caring, compassionate. They must have an ulterior motive. But I didn't. I just wanted to make the world a better place. I was driven by it even as a child.
Yeah. Did you say that we have the same soul path number?
I don't remember what yours is. No, your soul path is 3. My main karmic lesson is 3. So 3s in this life also have to learn to meditate. And because it's really important for us to have that oneness with God, whatever, however you call God, it would be difficult. So usually 3s will have trouble meditating. And I know when I first started, I thought, I'm going to write a book. Me, meditate, !!! Because it was so difficult. It took me about 6 months, but I can say it's the best gift I have ever given myself, bar none. Because today I'm at so much at inner peace. I'm divinely guided. Things just come to me. I know exactly what to do, what not to do, where to be, where not to be. It's just amazing, and I look for that guidance all the time.
Now, you covered the how to find your soul urge number, soul path number. How do you figure out what your...
And the karmic last number, which is it's the one that comes next, so you would have like a 2 and then a 3. The next comes off the chart, off that old parchment chart. And so you were the 2nd of June, so then you have a 7... in the middle there, so that, let me see, June, I find the same place. June the 2nd, yeah. So you have a 7 there. You also have a 1, which is bringing, is a difficult one, which could be the one creating a bit of havoc in your life today. 1s and 5s, I find, are hard for people to work through. So with your main karmic lesson, 7 for the 2nd of June, this is your interest in the esoteric. This is you being drawn into that. There's your gift using energy and the different things that you're doing in that field already. And here's the 7s, have a quest for knowledge, a quest for understanding beyond understanding. It's not just an accumulation of facts, which the 8 does. The 7 tries to understand even deeper. So many of the researchers that are making major breakthroughs today, say like Bruce Lipton, Candace Pert, Greg Braden, those people, those are all 7s. They all have a 7 in their numbers. And then the 7 is the multiplied, diversified interest, and often totally in a different area. For example, myself worked as barmaid and waitress, opened managed hospitals, you know, then into orphanages, now doing workshops, you know, back and forth. 7s will do that, and also 7s have a tendency to delve into something that interests them, take only what they want out of it, and then they've got another interest. So sometimes people will say, when are you going to settle down? When are you going to do just one thing? And 7s aren't supposed to. They're supposed to take only what they need and then go on to the next thing. So you've probably done that too.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and then 7s are natural teachers, but not to teach with a strict syllabus, you know, or a strict curriculum like they have in school or university, but to teach classes with humor, with personal experiences. And 7s have the gift of taking very complicated, convoluted information, regurgitating it, and spilling it out in a way that's really interesting and easy to understand. So many of the people that are taking a very complicated, technical manuals and breaking it down so the layperson, like you or I, could understand it, is a 7. They're very often a 7 that will take the complicated information, rewrite it in a way that the layperson can understand.
It's amazing to me that we'd have so much information or clues encoded in our birth dates.
Yeah, and you know, the 7, there's the love of nature. 7s need quiet time. 7s love to dance. But even though they love to dance and love people, after a really busy day, they're inclined to say, just leave me alone for 15 or 20 minutes and I'll be fine. They need that quiet time to resource. So if you have a 7 in a person in a relationship with a 3 partner, then the 3, which is dealing with abandonment and rejection and low self-esteem, will want to cling on to the 7, but 7 needs their space. You know, so sometimes conflict can arise, and this is where Egyptian numerology comes in handy, because I can say to them, look at this, and which I'll be going more into detail in the workshop, to understand when you have these numbers and these numbers, and these are your partner's numbers, these are the issues that are going to come up, and they're supposed to come up so you can work on them.
Well, I'm already seeing we're just going to be scratching the surface here today. Clearly. There certainly seems to be a lot more than I realized.
Yeah, and then also 7's loyalty, integrity, and fairness and justice is very important, but they can be too loyal too long to the wrong person. Never done that, have you?
I don't really, yeah. We're still on the air, I think, yeah. But that's so interesting that some of the qualities also seem to contradict each other as well.
Yeah. And so that's why sometimes a person can be their own worst enemy. But
uh-huh.
It's always whether they're stepping into their magnificence or not. And one of the predominant thing with a 7 that hasn't stepped into their magnificence yet is that deep, profound loneliness that you feel even in a crowd or even with loved ones. That you're constantly searching, and it's that loneliness will disappear once you find that God within, and once you're living your life mission or your soul, you're on track of what your mission is here on the planet at this time. So the urgency and the deep loneliness that a seven will feel is just their soul calling to them. But so many times people look for places, people, things, substances, you know, to fill that void where all the time their soul is trying to get them to go within.
I totally relate to a lot of what you're saying, and I mean, I'm already on my purpose, my path, and but I still feel that sensation, you know,
that loneliness.
It hasn't gone away. Yeah.
Oh, you still haven't found that oneness with God inside yet. Then to the extent, do you meditate every day?
No. Because I have trouble with that. We've already.
You see, that's it. That's the answer for there, is to finally be able to do that meditation.
Yeah, well, I think, and the fact that I thought that if I just arrived, you know, you arrived, but it's still an ongoing journey.
Yeah.
Beyond the arrival. So, interesting, though, that it's validating, you know, the inner dialogue. It's very impressive. So what was this one business?
The one in Egyptian numerology means that this person was a master of some kind in a past life, and they misused their power through money, ego, control, sex, or misuse of information. So in this life, they'll have many tests in those areas. And then one also has to watch addictions, taking things too personally, hanging on to the past too long, and playing the blame game. So one of the things that one has to realize is no matter how devastating something is, no matter how hurtful, it serves a divine purpose and there's really a gift in it. So not to stay stuck in what I call like Crohn disease, poor little old me, but to realize this is a balance of karma, this is how people felt, you know, under my jurisdiction in the past, and I'm getting to experience this, and how can I make the world a better place today? So like with Washi, he's the 10th of June. He has a one there. He had horrific abuse all of his childhood. And whereas one of his brothers, who's also a one, he's a 28 one, Eddie stayed angry, mad at the world, into drugs, into violence, beating his girlfriend, the world owes me a living, a sense of entitlement. He's slipping in his magnificence, and so far I haven't been able to break through with him. With Washi, every time something painful would happen to him, I'd say, okay, Washi, really feel that. Get to feel that. Now, how can we use that pain to make the world a better place? How can we help others that feel this way to break out of it, or how can we help prevent it? So that's where he's done that. Each time something painful happened, I said, how can we use this? And immediately that's how I started that Christmas thing that I did. It's now in its 49th year, and Washington's doing his Christmas thing. Next year will be his 6th year. Yeah, because I had had such an extremely painful Christmas experience where I went into Crohn's disease the whole day and walked through the woods just sobbing my heart out, feeling unwanted and unloved and nowhere to go, to all of a sudden stopping after hours of self-pity and said, oh, my God, I wonder how many other people feel this way. And then the next Christmas, I had open house, and I have ever since for people who have nowhere to go on Christmas Day or just don't fit in with their family. They've outgrown their family. Or they're not interested in the fighting, the alcohol, whatever, the smoking that goes on often in Christmas parties, and they would rather do something that's fun and loving and caring. So as a result of that, at 16, I had my first open house Christmas for people who had nowhere to go, and had a gift for every single person and a meal, and we had music and laughter and all kinds of things. And then Washi had an extremely painful experience when he was 16, and I held him and just said, honey, feel that pain, cry it out, really feel it. Now, what are you going to do about it? And he said, what do you mean, Mama? And I said, well, look what I did. I had this similar experience when I was 16. This is what I did. What do you want to do? Think about it. And next thing you know, I got that letter from him saying, dear Mama, I have a big project. I've rounded up 450 children of the street. I've hired 7 buses And I've got food and a gift for everybody. I'm short $150. Please send it Western Union.
I love it.
So here's how the one is supposed to take something that's really painful and turn it around and to bring in new paradigms, to dare to do things differently. Like with my hospital in Mexico, I was revolutionizing medicine that many, many hospitals and clinics followed my example in the future years, combining alternative complementary medicine. But I was really one of the first out there doing that.
Really transmuting the negative energy, that's amazing.
And that's a part of our mission. But sometimes it's hard for the one because they want to stay in the blame game. They want the other person to suffer, which is giving away their power or misusing their power again, because the person they want to hurt probably is totally is unaware of how that person still matters, doesn't give a darn, you know. So what a waste of energy. And I find that by playing the blame game, once away, it's giving away the power.
Very much so.
Yeah, so ones have to realize this is how I misused my power. This is how I got to experience it. And the neat part, like when I'm doing an Egyptian numerology workshop, I do it at the same time with soul journeys, because me being an Aquarius and probably being at a 22, I don't believe in just information given out. I believe have the information, I'll do something with it. And so during the workshop, I'll have people doing past life regressions and going to find out what happened that they created this way, and can they understand how it was really a gift, and now what can you do about it? And I'll see people turn from anger, animosity, resentment, and hate, you know, for having been abused or something, to saying, oh my God, I see it as a gift now. And about a month ago, I guess, or 2 months ago now, time flies, I did a workshop here, and it was strange because everybody canceled at the last minute except for a small pod of students. And I thought, what's going on? But I know today it's always in divine order. And I thought, oh boy, what's going to happen? There's going to be a theme, or there's going to be something really big to handle. And even Michelle, who's my number one assistant, my prized assistant, was so looking forward to the workshop. She loves that workshop. And at the last minute, she called and she said, Sharon, I'm so sick, I can't make it. I said, I know you're not supposed to. And the interesting thing, a lady came in and she was a 1, and she was also a 22-4, which is a master number. It's the and according to Egyptian numerology, it's the most powerful number, whether it's for good or to destroy. So when you have the destructive, you've got like Hitler, Sedan, Charles Manson, people like that, or all the 22 that sought to destroy. But on the and my mother, of course. But on the other hand, when you have a 22 that's in their power and in magnificence, you've got a lot of people, Abraham Lincoln, and you've got like Oprah's another 22. And we're supposed to take the traumas of our childhood and make the world a better place. So you have the 22 that's destructive, that loves to torture, loves to make people suffer, and others that, every time they help somebody break through, every time somebody feels better or they've done something that's making the world a better place, they're ecstatic. So this lady walked in. I had met her before, seen her before, and had really strange energy. It was almost the kind of energy you back away from. And a lot of people said, wow, I don't know, I don't like her energy. And I said, well, it's a child of God. Let's wait and see what happens. So the interesting thing, when I saw her numbers, and it gives me insight how to work with somebody and how to approach them in a non-judgmental way. So I said to her, boy, you've got the 1 and the 22 together. I bet you at some time in your life you love to torture people. You love to make people squirm. You delighted in really hurting their feelings and hurting them mentally and physically. And I said, boy, I bet you're really good at it because you had the 1 and 22 together. And she just looked at me. Her eyes opened wide. And I said, you know, this is a chance to heal right now. And all of a sudden it was blurting out. And the lady who was there that had known her for years said, oh, my God, I didn't know this five to her. She kept it so hidden. And she also had a seven, so I said, you were probably a teacher. How did you torture your kids? And she says, oh, I did. And they were too terrified to say anything to their parents. So she went on in detail explaining how she tortured people, which I knew Michelle, with her, who had been sexually abused as a child and also, you know, having a young daughter, wouldn't want to hear all of this or couldn't have handled it. And yet, because I had worked through my SHIT, I was able to be totally there for her and to break this lady through, where she, it took the whole weekend to break her out of this need to turn it around to how she could use it for good. And people were just shaking their heads in absolute bewilderment and amazement as they watched me break her through.
Wouldn't have happened the same way if all those people had...
No, there's no way that lady would have opened up. There's no way I would have opened that can of worms if it hadn't have been such a small group where I knew I could break them through. And I also knew that the other people in the group had to witness this to understand when they were all therapists, by the way. So it was neat that they could see how this applied and how to be non-judgmental. And it's interesting when you see, and I'll talk about this in the workshop, when you see two numbers together sometimes, it's very indicative of if there's a problem, what it is. Like if you have a 5 and an 8 together, there's invariably childhood sexual abuse in this life. Although 8s are champions of denial, often it's something that's hidden. And you can't say to somebody, you've got abuse. But instead I'll say, are you aware of any childhood abuse? And they say, oh, no, never. And then I'll just nonchalantly say, aunt, uncle, sister, brother, cousin, doctor, nurse, coach, babysitter, older brother, something like that. And they'll say, no, and I'll say, not even once. And they'll say, well, my uncle, you da-da-da-da-da-da, or my brother, da-da-da-da, or my priest, da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden it's coming out. But it tells me it's there. And sometimes I'll say, well, maybe it's not in this life. It might be in an immediate past life. Just ask your higher self. So one time with a gentleman, how do I say it so nobody knows who he is? This gentleman said to me, oh, Dr. Sharon, can you give me some dietary hints of how to work with prostate. And I said, oh, what are your numbers? And when he told me his numbers, he had the 5 and the 8 there. And I said, oh, do you have any childhood sexual abuse? And he said, oh, no, and that I know I never had. And I said, well, you know, often it's behind people that have prostate. It's the psycho-spiritual cause. He said, no, I know I definitely never had. I said, well, just ask your higher self in case something comes up, and then just let me know. But in the meantime, I'll definitely send you a regime that you can follow and send you some good ideas for dietary assistance to help you with the prostate problem. And then a couple of days later, I got a call from him, and he said, you know, Dr. Sharon, my brother and I used to masturbate each other every single day, at morning and night. Could that be called abuse? And I said, yes, it is. There's probably a part of you that enjoyed it because we're created to be stimulated by tactile touch. But there's a part of you that definitely felt violated. And I said, how old were you when this happened? And he said, from 3 to 10 years old. And I said, are you aware of anything after that? Because often when something happens between age 3 and 10, then something else has happened before or after. And he said, no, I'm sure there hasn't. I said, just ask your higher self. And then a couple of days after that, I got a phone call, and somebody was crying, sobbing almost hysterically on the phone. And I kept saying, take a deep breath. I can't understand you. I can't help you if you're, you know, gasping like this and sobbing. Just take a deep breath and let me know how I can help you. And it was him, and he said, how could I possibly have said I was never abused? He said, when I was 16, I was kidnapped by 2 gay men and made to do the most horrific, heinous things, and they did horrific things to me. How could I have not remembered that? And I said, well, it was so painful, you just shoved it so you could get along on in your life. And now your higher self knows there's somebody here that can help you work through it. You see, so the numbers help me in that way. And I know I can tell if somebody has been an abuser, you know, physically, sexually, verbally, by their numbers and where they are in their in the, you know, the four main numbers that I work with, and the down and the upside of it. And then I get people to trust themselves, like sixes. I call the mouthpiece of God, you know, the healer counselors, but the sixes will often have a message that they feel they have to tell people, and they hold back because of shyness, or they don't want to be wrong, or they don't want to be misjudged. And so I always tell them, just say whatever you're getting and just tell people, you know, this doesn't make sense to me, but maybe it makes sense to you, blah, blah, blah. And Joan of Arc had two sixes, so she came with the messages of helping people. I have a six where very often I'll look at somebody and all of a sudden something's just popping into my head. And when I tell them, their mouth is open. How do you know that? Or that's exactly what I've been praying for. Or if I wake up at night and it'll say, wake up, write this down, and phone this person in such and such a city. And then I'll call information, get the number and call them and give them the message I get. And invariably, it's right on.
Wow.
Every once in a while, they'll say, nope, doesn't make sense to me. And I'll say, hang on to it. Maybe it will in a short time. But I used to try and make it make sense to me. And then, of course, it didn't make sense to the person. So no matter how ridiculous it is, I'll tell now. So when I see people with a six, I'll say, you have all of these gifts. That's just one of the many. Sixes are wounded healers and, you know, can go from have something that's non-treatable that doesn't seem to ameliorate. They can go from therapist to therapist to treatment and never seem to get anywhere. And they're often the six that they have to make a commitment. Okay, God, here I am. I'll now dedicate myself to service. Then boom, once they say that and mean it, they will instantly break through or find the person that will break them through. And then they have to get on their path as a healer counselor.
Well, I want to get in the information about the events that you're talking about that you're doing here in Vancouver. Or are you doing more than one?
I'm doing just that in Vancouver. I'm also doing private sessions, but I'm already solidly booked.
Okay, not a surprise.
but
let's give out the details about the Egyptian numerology workshop coming up in Vancouver, BC.
Okay. I'm just digging it up on the, so I can give you the number. Let me see. That's,
come down and check it out. It sounds pretty neat.
Yeah. It's quite fascinating. Where are we? March. We're in April, May. We're March. Okay, so the one in March is 18. That's going to be at the Rosicrucian Lodge, and it's on the 16th, 17th, 18th. On Friday, it's from 7 to about 9, and then Saturday, it's a longer day. People have an option of a pyramid initiation Saturday night. And the pyramid initiation appeared in the middle of my herbology program probably 20 years ago. And it's a very, very powerful initiation. So that will be from 7 to 10 only for the people doing the workshop. And then on Sunday will be from 10 to 6. And that's Sandra Tate's doing the registration for that. And her number is 604-913-8744. So 604-913-8744, or Sandra Tate, T-A-I-P, at shaw.ca.
And I think it was a dyslexic moment there. I think her number, if I recall, is actually 8477.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, did I say something different?
I said it backwards. 604-913-8477.
Good, you caught it. And then the week after that, I'm going to be in Oakville, Ontario, which is just outside of Toronto, and I'm doing a free lecture on the Wednesday night, A Codependency, A Fairy Tale Experience. Mm-hmm. Very profound with a lot of laughter. And then Thursday night, I'll be doing the CCMBA, you know, that electromagnetic phenomenon and DNA clearing. And then on the weekend, 23, 24, 25, I'll be doing the workshop.
Wow.
And that's Lotus at 905-337-2255. 905-337-2255. And it's Lotus, L-I-N, at COGECO.ca.
And if anyone,
it's on my website.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if anyone's scrabbling to write that down, just go to healingnow.com, click on the schedule.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the easy
way. We'll have a new website up in a week or so.
Oh, very exciting. Yeah. Well, you're incredibly busy. One of those
powerful
men out there just making it happen.
And can you see with you on the air the way you are, that with the 3 and the 7, you're supposed to make people, 3s need to have a PhD in people pleasing, that they try harder, do more and everything to win love, but they need to nurture people. So here you're nurturing them, you're bringing the esoteric sciences, but the one dares to step out of the box, dares to bring in new paradigms, dares to do things differently. That's when they're stepping in their magnificence. And you see how that all applies to you and what you're doing?
I totally see. I've always been the maverick on the edge.
Updated version of Egyptian numerology.
Well, very interesting. I want to find out more and encourage the audience to, if they've resonated with this, you know, check it out for more.
Yeah, why not? It's a wonderful way to understand clients, patients, loved ones, your children, your boss, your coworkers, your employee, and my staff. Do everybody everywhere. It's so funny. And yesterday, one of my old students came in and she said, Sharon, I'm doing everybody in my office and I've been doing it, da, da, da. And she's really good at it. And she even made up special cards, which I'll give everybody in the workshop, that has how to do it on one side and all the charts on the other that people can just stick in their wallet.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I can see how you'd want to be, you know, the guy you're sitting next to on the bus or something. You'd just start.
Well, Michelle does everybody everywhere, and even in huge business meetings. She says, oh, I can do. And I used to have headhunters come and ask me, Sharon, do these people's numbers. This is years ago. Do these. Because you'll know which one will work well on their own, which needs to work with somebody else, which doesn't take orders from somebody, which does take orders and is willing to look at other people's point of views, which ones won't. All that's there.
Hmm. I mean, it's amazing that decades ago the business community was open to that.
Oh, yeah. This is about 20, 25 years ago I was doing that.
Hmm. Well, let's give out the website one more time, healingnow.com. And thanks so much for being here, Dr. Sharon.
Well, thank you, and sweet dreams, everybody.
Dr. Sharon Forrest, healingnow.com. And check out the Egyptian numerology workshop or whatever, you know, if you're talking, you're listening 5 years down the road, just go to her website and see what she's doing then, because she's always up to something interesting. So anytime. And tomorrow, speaking of something interesting, lighten up, literally, we are taking the gloves off now or putting them on. It's like we're just not messing around. Lighten up, literally, is having Pete Siegel on. And go check that out on the web, newsforthesoul.com. We're just putting up the promo now. You'll want to see that. IncredibleChange.com, I believe, is Pete's website. And he'll be here with me tomorrow night, Wednesday, Satyan Raja. And he's just back fresh from India with amazing spiritual tales of mystical, magical stuff to tell. So you don't want to miss that. And Thursday, Carrie O'Connor is here doing a live call with you guys. So you want to be quick on the dial for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Have poor Don there taking calls 4 hours before the show. So
okay.
I will be sending out an email with the numbers to call. So the idea is to get on the free e-news for the soul. Just go to newsforthesoul.com. And if you missed any of this show or any of our shows ever in all the years that we've been on the air, newsforthesoul.com is where you go. So that's it for us. I'm off to belly dance now.
Yeah. I figured that's where you were going when you were in a hurry.
We're off to you perform. I just had
your seven thing.
It's almost like the little bat sign in the sky, but it's a little belly dance sign. And I received it just before we went on the air, so I must run.
Okie doke.
My services are required elsewhere.
Aha. Well, big hugs to everybody and sweet dreams.
You too, and thanks for tuning in, everybody. See you tomorrow night.
See you soon, Nicole.
Bye, Dr. Sharon.
Bye.
This has been News for the Soul with Nicole Whitney. Visit us anytime online at www.newsforthesoul.com, where you can listen to all our previously aired shows at any time and so much more. Have a great week, and remember, what you focus on expands.